Our next speaker will be Jim Finnerty with the National Lawyers Guild. He is one of the lead attorneys for the 23 subpoenaed activists. He is a lifelong people's lawyer, well known especially as a friend of the Palestinian people and past president of the Chicago chapter of the National Lawyers Guild. Please welcome Jim Finnerty.
First of all, I want to start off by saying I'm just really excited to be here because I see so many people from so many different organizations. We're coming together to fight these charges and these allegations. And that's really so important because if they pick off one group, then another group will be next. And this is so important, and I'm just really proud to be here that all these people from different organizations have come together and joined together to fight this struggle. Let me a little talk about, you heard about grand juries, and let me a little talk about that. Grand juries originally in this country were set up at the founding of this country to try and get the communities more involved in investigating crimes and try to get community input. And what's happened over the years, over the decades and centuries, it has evolved to be really just the tool of the prosecution. It's not supposed to be, but it is. It's just a tool of the prosecution. And for those of you who don't know, what means that the grand jury is that it's made up of about 23 different people. If you go to testify at the grand jury, you cannot have your lawyer in there with you. You cannot have a lawyer. You cannot have a representative with you. You go in there alone. And the only evidence they hear, the only people they hear who speak about or speak to the grand jury are the prosecutors. So you cannot tell your side of the story. So it's all basically really one-sided, and it's secret. And then eventually the prosecution eventually will ask them to issue what they call indictments. And so that's what people are up against, these secret proceedings. And this grand juries in this country have historically been used against people's movements. We can go back to the Puerto Rican community here. Alejandro's here. And talk about what happened there. I mean, they when people were really working to fight for independence, work for independence in Puerto Rico, then all of a sudden there was these grand juries investigating people who supported the freedom of the island of Puerto Rico. In Central America work, there were grand juries. Now we have grand juries going investigating people who are active in the environmental movement, and people have been indicted. And now what we're talking here about mainly is the international solidarity work that this organization has been doing. It's clear, obviously, that this is mainly focusing in on the work around Palestine. And this week, the Lawyers Guild, we got a call from a person in Chicago who worked with and did work around Viva Palestina. You know, Viva Palestina was the organization, I guess, was founded in England with the MP there who got trucks and bring supplies to the people of Gaza. Well, this person who has been involved in Viva Palestina work got a call from the FBI, said they wanted to talk to him. I'm assuming what that means, and what Kevin and I were here talking about a minute ago, is people maybe who go on the flotillas. Maybe it'll be the next group of people to be investigated. So it seems to be centering this work around the work in Palestine. And they don't like you meeting with certain people, I guess, or talking to people. But anyways, so that's where this is centered on. Now, we had a lot of talk here about the words material support of terrorism. So what is that? Well, up until recently, it was really never defined by the Supreme Court. But there was a case called Holder versus Humanitarian Law Project. And this was an organization based in LA who was represented by the Center for Constitutional Rights, who are mostly Lawyers Guild members out of New York. And what they wanted to do, they wanted to go to and work with two organizations. They wanted to work with the Kurdish Workers Party in Turkey, and they wanted to meet with the Tamil Tigers, who recently just were wiped out by the government there. And what they wanted to do, what did they want to do? Did they want to give them money? No. Did they want to give them arms? No. They wanted to train them to used the United Nations and the World Court. And they won in the lower courts, the two lower courts, they won. And they said that would, they could go do that, that that would be not material support for terrorism. Well, it went to the Supreme Court, and you got to realize this when it went to the Supreme Court, when it's argued in the Supreme Court, it was argued by Kagan, who's now a Supreme Court justice. But it was a Roberts decision. He wrote for the majority. And they came back and said, if they did this, if they went and taught him how to use the United Nations, told him how to use the World Court, this would do two things. One, it would free him up to do other, you know, illegal things, quote. And I don't know what that would be. I think they'd be so bogged down reading law books they wouldn't have time to do anything else. On the other hand, it would put them in a better light. So these people, they didn't want to give, like I said, they didn't want to give money, weren't going to give arms. Jesus wanted to go and teach them how to go to the United Nations. And they came back and said that would be material support for terrorism. So this whole concept of material support for terrorism is so broad right now, it could be anything practically. And that's what's happening here. And that's why the subpoenas came out after this case. This case was decided in June of 2010, and then the subpoenas came out in September. So I don't think it's any accident that the subpoenas came out after this decision and after they got these weapons they could use against organizations that are doing solidarity work, and that's what it's really, really aimed at. We heard about the cases, you know, 23 people. My organization, the Lawyers Guild, we've had lawyers to cover just about everybody. In this, well, I don't want to say everybody, because the first 14, we didn't need 14 lawyers for. We had lawyers who just said basically that people were going to exercise their Fifth Amendment rights and were not going to cooperate and not going to testify before the grand jury. Then with the additional 9 that came out in December, we got an individual lawyer to represent every one of those. And those lawyers in discussions then and with their clients then told the government that they were not going to testify. They're also going to exercise their right under the Fifth Amendment. So we've been very good in terms of covering this and protecting people's rights of dissent and also their right to do solidarity work. But I want to say one thing in closing, though. One more thing. So right now is, before I forget, right now we're at like a holding pattern. It's the government's move next. You heard about immunity. What that means is that the government could come back and they say, we'll pick out 4 or 5 people and they'll say, we're going to offer them immunity. And it's not total immunity anymore. It's what they call use immunity, which means that if you testify and you give them information from that, your testimony, they cannot use any of your testimony to prosecute you. But if they find out information outside of your testimony, they can still come back and prosecute you. Anyway, so we're usually this I should say usually, but what happens, it's normal that it comes from Washington. So they could be waiting now to get permission from Washington about who to offer immunity for to see if they will testify. If you are then called to the grand jury again, you're given immunity, say you're told to come back and you offered immunity, what happens then is that you go there, and if you don't testify, you say, once again, I'm going to exercise my right to remain silent, I'm not going to testify, then they can take you to the chief judge and they can have a hearing and they can ask that you be held in contempt. And the chief judge will probably ask you then those questions again that the prosecutor was going to ask you. And he asked you to answer those questions, you refuse, and then you could be held in contempt for the life of the grand jury. Now, sometimes what happens is their life can be extended, usually for 18 months. But what the thing is, what they do is they call that, which I don't understand what the distinction is myself, but they say it's not, they can do this, they say, because it's civil, because it's not punishment. They say it's not punishment. What they call it is coercion. Now, to me, it's all punishment. But anyway, so that's what they do. They say, they get away with it and say, yes, we can lock you up with civil contempt because it's coercion. Now, eventually what can happen after many months in jail, you can still refuse, you can be brought back like Bernadine Dorn was back in the days when they were investigating her organization. And what happens is that eventually the judge said, well, obviously she's not going to testify, so I think if we keep her in custody anymore, it will be punishment. Then it will be punishment. And eventually she was released. But so that's where we're waiting for the government. We'll see if they do that. They don't have to do that. They could just come out with indictments and indict people directly. And like I said, they're pretty tight-lipped about what positions they're taking. We don't know how many, if they do indict, how many people that's going to be. It could be a small number. It could be a large number. But I just want to say, in closing, I want to say one thing, too, is that what's happening in terms of this case, you can't win a political case only in the courts. And I'm sure you probably all know that. And that's what's happening. I think the people who are organizing around this case are doing the right thing. They're speaking out. They're sending people around the country to talk at different forums, every place they can go. We do conferences like this. There's more going on today in other cities, California, and I believe in New York next week, and North Carolina. And we have to keep organizing because it's not going to be won just in the courts. And if we keep this up and keep working, eventually I believe we're going to win. Thank you.